I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
All precious ones, glory to God. The Bible is right. Amen. That song, The Bible is Right, glory to God. And I thank God for it. Don't pastor say it every week, glory to God. Not to be redundant, but I rejoice in the fact that we have something that we can rely on, glory to God. In a upside down world, in a world where everybody's got an opinion and they're trying to tell you what's right in their eyes, I'm glad that we can go to a source of authority, glory to God. The Word of God, God said His word has been established, amen. It's established in heaven, and it's going to be established on earth. His word is right. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, amen. God's word is the truth. In fact, truth is what God says about a thing. That's what truth is, what God says about a thing, amen. Now, to give you a quick example, and then we're going to get into the word. You think your name is what your name is, but your name is what your mom named you. That's not your real name, because the Bible says if you're born again, glory to God, and filled with the Holy Ghost, when you get to heaven, that God is going to give you a white stone, and in that stone is going to be your real name. And why? Because what God says is the truth. What God says is the final authority. Your name, like my name, is Aaron Williams, amen? That's not my name. That's the name my mama gave me, amen? But God know my real name, and someday I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to find out my real name, amen? Glory to God. I'm going to rejoice in it, amen? Why? Because the Bible is right. Well, we need to get into the word, because we have a good word for tonight, glory to God. Beloved, we're in the book of Proverbs. If you've been with me any time, you know that the Lord led us to begin to teach in the book of Proverbs. And we're in the 17th chapter, and we've now come down to the ninth verse, glory to God. And so Proverbs 17:9 says, in the King James Version, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Amen. Now, we get a little bit of light in the King James, but as we read some other versions, it comes clearer what that verse is saying. For instance, in the Positive Thinking Bible, that same verse, Proverbs 17:9, reads, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because that tells you how to keep a friend. Amen? How to keep your friends. Let me read that again. This is in the Positive Thinking Bible. You will keep your friends if is a big word, if. If you forgive them, why? Because people make mistakes. People are fallible. People are full of foibles. We all got faults. Amen? And you will keep your friends if you can forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. Amen? Why? Because what they did wrong is a sore spot, and it would just be like a natural sore. Suppose you have a natural sore on your hand, and instead of putting mercuricone or hydrogen peroxide and a bandage on it, suppose you took your dirty hand and you just kept rubbing over that sore, amen, and you just keep rubbing it. And every time the Bible tried to put a scab over it or heal it, you would rub it raw again, and it would start bleeding again, amen. It could never get healed. Why? Because you won't leave it alone. You won't let it go. You keep rubbing it until you rub what the scale and everything that the hand tried to do to heal itself. You won't let it heal. You won't let it alone. You keep rubbing it and rubbing it and rubbing it. Amen? Glory to God. And then in the Tanakh, that is the Jewish Bible, look what 17:9 says. He who seeks love overlooks faults, but he who harps on a matter alienates his friend. He who seeks love overlooks faults. You know, that's part of maturity. Part of maturity is understanding that there is the good, the bad, but there's also the good. Amen? There is the right, but there's also the left. There is the fun part of life, but then there's the not so fun part of life. It's the same thing with my wife. When I married my wife, I got my whole wife. Amen. You get the good part and you get the not so good part. But the same thing with me. She got my good parts and she got my foibles. Amen. And part of the maturity of life is to know that there is the fun part of life, but there's drudgery. There's entertainment, but then there's your duty. You have to do your duty. I had to walk today, and I might say that today was one of the hardest walks I had to walk. And usually I can maybe enjoy it a tiny bit, but today it took every bit of discipline. My body just did not want to exercise today. It just didn't. And this was one of the toughest days. I ain't never had it like this. But what I told myself, I kept telling myself, is you got to do this. You can't expect it to be wonderful every day. If you come out and the day's tough, you just have to tough it. You just have to tough it. Amen? So the Bible says, he who seeks love overlooks faults. How are you going to get along with anybody if you can't overlook faults? Amen? I remember one time a good friend of mine when I lived in Washington, D.C. Oh, we were so good friends. And he said something that really burned me up one day. And I was burnt, and he could tell that I was perturbed to no end. And he came over to me and he said, Aaron, he said, I don't know what I said to you that might have offended you. But if I said something to offend you, I ask you to forgive me because you're such a good friend. I ask you to forgive me. I don't know what I said, but whatever it was, I stepped on your toe accidentally. I asked you, and I forgave him because I knew he was very sincere. But the point is, if you want friends, you got to overlook their faults. Why? Because that's part of reality. That's part of reality. Look, if you only look for someone who's perfect, you're never going to, I'm talking about perfect in the flesh, you're never going to find anybody who's perfect, that never says one thing wrong. That you know, haven't you ever thought one thing, but you said something else? You were thinking one thing, but with your mouth, you said it the wrong way. And then when the person reacted, you said, wait, I messed up. I just went with that with my son. He was saying something to me, and I got it. I got it wampajawed. It was all upside down. And, I mean, I got on the wrong page. And he was trying to tell me something, but I was so on the wrong page, I had to come back and say, wait, hold up a second. My bad. I messed up. Because I'm not even on the same, we're not even talking about the same thing. I done messed up. I done got on the wrong page. Will you forgive? He forgave me, but the point was, there's, haven't you had times when you meant one thing, but you said something else? And hopefully, if a person's a good friend, they understand that people make mistakes, so they forgive you because they remember, I've done that. I messed up. So I understand what he's saying. That's a human fault. That ain't him. He ain't trying to, you know, say something to hurt me personally. That's just human frailty. You could be thinking you saying something, but okay, I'll give you another example. It's the same thing when you work with numbers. You could be thinking 9, but on the paper you write a 7, you know? And for the life of you, later on, when you come back, you wonder, why did I write a 7? I knew that was a 9, and sometimes the way we're wired, we make mistakes, okay? So if you know maturity is to know that people are going to have faults, so you have to learn to overlook their faults, and that's what the Tanakh says. He who seeks love overlooks faults, but he who harps on a matter alienates his friends. And see, that's one of the subjects I have to talk about in premarital counseling. I have to tell the people that are thinking about getting married, one of the things you have to major in, and you have to learn this and major in it, and that is you have to learn to forgive. Why? Because now you're not going to be with this person on a Friday night on a date or at church on Sunday or going out to dinner when they're all dressed up and they're on their best behavior. No, now you're going to be with them in the morning, turn over, and their breath stink or their underarm smell, or I can think of a host of other things, but you get the idea of what I'm saying. Now you just don't get the good parts of the person. You see the they might snore at night, and you didn't know they were going to snore like this. All kinds of stuff you didn't know, but you quickly learn it. Amen. And if you're not a pro in forgiving the person, how y'all going to make it? That's why Jesus said for us to walk in love, because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And it's really true. Haven't you ever seen a mama? She'll have a son who is Al Capone. I mean, this boy is bad. Everybody from the police force all the way down to relatives will tell mama, your son is awful. But what does mama say? Oh, my baby. I just love my son. He's so wonderful. How can she do that when the objective evidence is he's terrible? But she don't see that. She sees him with the eye of love. To her, love covers a multitude of sin. Amen? And if you're going to walk in love like this says, he who seeks love overlooks faults. So if you're going to walk in love to people, you have to take a mature view of people. There's the good part of folks, and there's the not-so-good part of folks. And that's life. That's just the way it is. Okay, how about you yourself? There's just wonderful about you. But just between you and me, if folks ain't told you, there's things about you that people can't stand. Now, you may not know it. They may not have the guts to tell you. They don't want to hurt your feelings. But there's some things about you they cannot stand. But because you're their friend, they just gloss it over. They just, okay, well, that's just him. Amen? Glory to God. But part of maturity is understanding, glory to God, that he who seeks love overlooks faults, but he who harps on a matter alienates his friends. You want to alienate your friend? Keep telling them what they did wrong. Keep doing that. I'm past a break. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Beloved, we're looking at Proverbs 17:9 in the King James. It says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." And so I was talking about how to walk in love, how to walk in love. And one of the ways to walk in love is to overlook the faults of others. Now, I want to give you an example of this because I'm sorry that it's in the natural. I like a lot of my examples to come out of the Bible. But I learned so much from this movie. I mean, I really did. You're talking about learning about how to walk in love and forgiveness. The movie Seabiscuit, it's about a racehorse, okay? Now, I would ask you to, in fact, I was in a thrift shop this week, and I saw two separate copies of it on DVD. And in that thrift store, you could get it for 50 cents. So you get a movie, Seabiscuit. Now, I don't ask you to look at that movie because of horses or because of racehorses. That's just the format in which these lessons were being taught. That was the format. But the bigger thing in the movie was what it taught, because it taught about how to overlook the faults in others. And in that movie, Seabiscuit, the owner of the horse, the owner of Seabiscuit, that was the name of his racehorse, when he bought the horse, got the horse, one thing about the horse was the horse was too small. He was small for a racehorse. So the owner had to overlook the faults of the horse. The other thing he had to overlook the faults of the horse, the horse liked to sleep late in the morning. Well, if you've ever heard anything about racehorses, they get them up at 5:30 and they go out and they train on the track. This horse liked to sleep late. And then the horse liked to eat. For a little horse, he ate more than any other horse out there. So the owner had to overlook the faults of this horse. Then the owner had to turn around the jockey that he hired to ride Seabiscuit, the jockey that he hired, the jockey assured him that he could ride that horse, and he was riding the horse and winning races. This particular race, the manager of the horse told him, the trainer told him, look out for this other horse. He comes up on the left, and you have to look out for him. And so, sure enough, in this race, this horse came up on the left. This other horse came up on the left and won the race. So the trainer after the race went to Seabiscuit's jockey and said, "What's wrong with you? I told you to look out for the horse coming up on your left." And found out that the jockey that they had hired was blind in his left eye. He couldn't see out of his left eye. So the trainer went to the owner and said, "Fire this jockey. He lied to you. He lied to you. He told you that he could see, and he lied. He's blind in his left eye. He can't run championship race horses. Fire him. Fire him." And the owner said, no, I'm not going to fire people on my team just because they have a fault or just because they have something wrong with them. I'm not going to fire him." And the trainer said, "But you got to fire him. He can't see." And the owner said, "No, I'm not going to do that." He overlooked the fault of others. Amen. And then the trainer himself, the owner had to overlook the trainer himself because the trainer was so old that people said, "You need another trainer. He's old. Put him out to pasture like you put your old horses out to pasture. Put him out to pasture." And the owner said, "No, I'm not going to, just because someone on my team has a fault, I'm not going to throw them away. I'm not going to fire them just because they have something wrong with them. people have faults, and I'm not throwing away my people just because they have a fault. And then the owner himself, he was disqualified because he didn't know anything about horses. And so they didn't disqualify him. They didn't, the trainer and the jockey didn't get rid of him because he didn't know anything about horses. What was it that that movie in such a beautiful way illustrated? It illustrated that you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did. If you keep talking about what they did. So what this verse teaches is that this verse teaches us to stop bringing up past wrongs. Stop bringing up past wrongs. Now, I've always had this in my mind, but I haven't expressed it. But I've had this in my mind. And the reason I don't really express it is because I think, well, that's history. So, I you know, how are you going to come against history? But if it was up to me, we would stop in America. We would stop talking about the Civil War. We would stop keep every movie about slavery, every movie about the Holocaust, every movie about things that happened. Here this verse says to stop bringing up stuff. Amen. It says you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. And you have to understand that a whole system, that whole system of apartheid in South Africa, that whole system evolved because one group would refuse to forgive the wrongs of another group. When they were in a war in the past, one group ambushed another group. And so the group that was ambushed never forgave them for ambushing them and put them in bondage and developed a terrible apartheid system because they just could not get over the fact of what happened decades ago. You ambushed our forefathers, and we're never going to forgive you for that. And so we're going to oppress you and keep. See, they never forgave. They never forgave what happened in the past. They kept bringing up what had happened, a wrong that had happened in the past. And when you think about it, what war didn't someone ambush someone else? I can't even think of a war where people didn't get ambushed. In every war you can think of, someone ambushed someone else. But they didn't make a whole system out of it and oppress mankind because that happened to it. But in South Africa, they did. They just refused to forgive. Amen. It says, he who seeks love overlooks faults, but he who harps on a matter alienates his friend. If you want to alienate your friend, glory to God, keep telling him what he did wrong. Keep bringing up wrongs that he did. You're going to alienate him. Why? Because it's like I said before, it's a sore spot. And you hurt the person inside. They may not say anything. Most times people, they get quiet, because they know they did something wrong, so they can't refute the fact that they did something wrong, so they get quiet. But inside, it's hurting them because you're bringing up a fault, and people don't like to be reminded of their faults. So if you want to have friends, you can't bring up their faults. Why? Because you grace them because you have faults. And if they bring up your faults and you bring up their faults, I guarantee you, you're not going to be friends. Long. Amen. And so it's necessary from these verses to learn to walk in love. And we learn to walk in love how? By realizing that people aren't perfect in the flesh, that they have foibles. And the mature thing is to realize, glory to God, I get the whole person. It's like there's things in this world that are connected. For instance, water and wet. When you get the water, you get the wet. They're connected. Amen. If you get water, you get wet. And so glory to God. You have to realize that when you get a human being, and the reason why we're not perfect in the flesh That's a good, because God designed us not perfect in the flesh. Now, why do I keep saying in the flesh? Why we're not perfect? Because in Christ Jesus, when we're translated in Christ Jesus, positionally in Jesus Christ, spiritually, positionally, we're perfect in God's eyes because we're in Christ Jesus. And in him, that puts us in right standing with God when we're in Christ Jesus. So positionally, we're perfect, but in the flesh, we're still in these flesh and blood bodies. We still accidentally step on people's blue suede shoes as a figure of speech. We accidentally bump into people. We accidentally mean one thing and we're saying something. And then when we catch ourselves, we hope and pray that the person will be generous and understand that that's a human foible. We didn't do it on purpose to hurt them. We're just human. Sometimes you think one thing, you say something else. Amen? So to walk in love, the Bible says that he that loves does no evil to his neighbor. And so that's part of walking. Listen, beloved, when the Bible talks about Christians walking in love, that's, we're not talking about huggy, huggy, kissy, kissy. That's eros love. We're not talking about that. We're talking about agape, where you make a conscious decision. I'm going to walk in love toward people. What that means? You don't work any evil against them. You see, when you were in the world and someone stepped on your blue suede shoes, you thought about revenge. You thought about getting back at them. They killed my dog, I'm going to shoot their cat. Amen? But in Christ Jesus, what you do is, if someone accidentally transgresses against you, you forgive them. Amen? Why? Because what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. People don't know that they're being influenced by a bunch of demons. They don't know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. There's millions of demons trying to trip us up, trying to mess up humanity, cause you to make mistakes, cause you to be so frustrated that you throw your hands up and say, I can't live this Christian life. I'm going to walk away from God. That's what the devils want you to do. They want you to give up on God and say, I can't live this Christian life. I just can't do it. Amen? Why? Because of what they do. Amen? But then we learn spiritual warfare, and we learn about the mighty name of Jesus, and we bind those things up because we're instructed to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And we fight for our spiritual freedom. Amen? To God. And so we realize that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. So when people accidentally do something to us, we forgive. Amen? So we forgive. Walking in love means not to seek revenge. The Bible says don't try to revenge yourself, that God will revenge you. Amen? He says, revengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so we put it in God's hands. And we realize that people aren't perfect, so we forgive them. And we learn to forgive. We learn to forgive not so much for the other person. People say, oh, if I forgive, they're going to get away with it. No, they're not going to get away with it because God says he's going to deal with them. But the other thing is you forgive for your sake. Because if you walk around in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, the Bible says don't let no root of bitterness grow up in you. If you're bitter about something, maybe your station in life, maybe your job, maybe your spouse, maybe your parents, maybe your income. I don't know. There's anything people can be bitter about. But you can't, as Christians, you can't let a root of bitterness grow up in you because it will hinder you. You can't flow in the Spirit. You won't really get filled with the Holy Ghost because you'll be so full of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness that he can't fall on you. Amen? You can't feel the anointing because you're grieving the anointing away. And so for you to flow, you've got to walk in love. Amen? Why? Because God is love. Amen? Well, look, beloved, I'm out of time. But the Bible says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. God bless you. This has been The Bible Has the Answers. See you next week. I love you. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us.